before we begin. Father, I want to thank you again that you are moving powerfully all across this globe. And I want to thank you that your heart for us is not to be on the bleacher, looking down on the playing field, seeing what you're doing with other people's lives. But Father, you are wanting us to be on the field in the mainstream of your flow. And I thank you that you have done that. Thank you that you are doing that today. Thank you that you'll be faithful to keep us there tomorrow. I thank you, Father, for what is going on at Reading. I thank you for how you have raised that ministry up. I thank you for how churches all across the globe are being impacted by the move of your Spirit in that place. And thank you for opening the door for us to be able to go and to be a part, to taste and be a part of what you're doing. And so, Father, before we begin, I plead the blood of Jesus over this building again. I declare this to be holy ground. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every demonic entity, and I command you to be silent. You will not interfere. I loose every hearing ear in this place today that as the testimonies go forth, that faith would go with it. Our faith would be increased as a result of what we hear today. I release a grace over every person sharing. Father, just a reminder, it is not them, but it is you in them. It is you in them glorifying yourself with a willing mouth, a willing person. And so God, in advance, thank you for what's going to take place this morning. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Who is going to go first this morning? Sheldon.
Well, there's two parts to my trip. This was my first out-of-town experience and my first little travel and my first little everything. So it was nice. Colin mentioned pray over it, and the Lord said I was going. And then in June, had a couple things shaken up in my world. So what I did was just put a lot of doubt into my life. And for every 100 excuses I came up with why I couldn't go or why I couldn't afford it or why it wouldn't work, the Lord put 1,000 in my head that says you're going either way. So that's how it worked out for me. Like I said, I just had a lot of doubt and what I wanted out of it and what I was going to get. And it turns out that the trip worked out really good for me. Gave me an opportunity to refresh and get just refocused on what and where I needed to be. But things are slacking a little bit this summer, so The trip helped me out there. Well, what did I get out of this trip? Like I said, it was my first experience, first time having to share a hotel room, and hung out with John and James and got to know them a little better. And it wasn't necessarily who I met or the people I met on the trip. It was the family that I had that I went with, the friends on the bus, the experiences, the conversations, the walks, the tours. It was everybody that was in this house and the opportunity to strengthen those relationships, knowing that when I brought it back with me, it was going to be even stronger. You know, I called Dorian Saturday morning, said hello, Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah. And I had something shake me a little bit there. So out of the strength that I have in this friends and family, I was able to stand in the back of the bus and have warriors on my side and just pray, so that way when I came back to Canada, I wasn't bringing any anger, wasn't bringing any stress, and the Lord's going to handle my situation, so it wasn't a concern. So what I got out of this trip is the strength and the opportunity I had just to get to know my family a lot better than, and from there on in, it's just, like I said, if I ever get an opportunity like this again, I'm not going to doubt myself. I'm going to put myself in a position where I'm going to go. And I know that there's a couple more things coming up in the future, and I'm excited. Like I said, it was something I've never done before. Shaking, sweating, scared. Oh, overpack. Way overpack. I think I took half my clothes back. They're still clean. So, and just overprepared, and it was awesome. Like I said, I'm never, ever going to pass up on an opportunity like this again. And I'd like to thank you for everybody, all the conversations, everything that I had. Like I said, it wasn't the people that I met out there and people from here and people from around the world. It was the people in this home. And that's what I love the most about this trip, and I'm so happy that I went. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for the people that went for walks, and conversations, and meals, and dinners, and sorry about all the fast food, but it happens. And, yeah, like I said, I'm just excited for the next one. So, right on.
So I got to just tell you, he's never been on a trip with us before. So when it came to three guys sharing a room and two guys sleeping in the same bed, oh, Jesus. So I found out that Sheldon chose to sleep on the floor while the other guys each had a bed. And on the last night, they eventually, John and James said, you know what, we'll sleep together and you can have the other bed. Sheldon was like, okay, that's good, but I'm not sleeping with you. So I just want to say that when you come to Africa or wherever you come, that we may be sharing beds. That's all I'm saying to you. So a little more room to grow. That's all I'm saying. Great to have you. Who's next? Val.
Our week before we started, or that we went down, there was a couple things that happened in our lives too. Jerry got sick, and then we had something else happen at home, and it's like, oh, I don't think we can go, but we persevered and went. The one speaker that spoke the most to me was Thursday afternoon, Leslie Crandall, and she spoke on the book of Matthew and the story of the relationship of Peter and Jesus, and it really touched me in a lot of ways, and I was able to relate to it in a lot of ways in my life too, like of how he calls each of us. He's very personal. He calls each of us by name. And he treats us for who he is and not who I am or where I've come from. I'm just reading through some of my points that I've written down. We need to know the nature of who Jesus is and not just to hear his commands. We need to know who he is. And he believes in us more than we can imagine. He is more patient than we think. And I guess I really like the story of, I'm glad Jesus called Peter as one of his disciples because, I mean, he messed up big time. And I had to think of how many times have I stepped back and not acknowledged two crises in my life, and yet he is still there. He's waiting. He is waiting for me to just come to him and have him restore my relationship with him. And and until we stand in the knowledge of redemption that is personal, we will never reach the world. We will be living in regret and disappointment. And it was good, and if anybody ever has a chance to go to a conference like that, go. Just go and enjoy it, and I can hardly wait to the next one.
Thank you, Val. Next.
Yeah, amen. The song that was playing during the coffee break, I Can Make a Way Where There Seems No Other Way. I just love that song. It's catchy, but there's so much power in it too. Because naturally speaking, if we look through our own worldly eyes, there was no way we were going to be able to go to this conference. But I had, many years ago, I had said, it was my heart's desire to go. And I've been waiting in faith and just saying, yes, Lord, you know my heart. And even at the conference, you know, when Bill Johnson spoke about all the little things that he wants to bless you with, this was one of my big things. And, you know, God made a way where it was impossible. So I just want to give God all the glory. That was the start. And it just got better from there because we stepped out in faith, big faith. I just want to agree with what everybody else said. This conference was just amazing, and I have been to a lot of conferences. But I'm just going to share two little things. One was at the opening night, which unfortunately all the bus people missed. Only us three were here. But when Bill Johnson spoke about open heaven, he He said, you hear often people quoting, oh Lord, less of me and more of you. And then, of course, you know how Bill Johnson is. He kind of makes a joke, and then he says something very deep. He says, but God wants all of us, not less of us. He says, if we had to become less and less, all God will have at the end is himself and no creation, you know. And he took it from that way where he said, you know, God wants all of our created uniqueness, giftings, and talents to merge with his love and allowing us to be all that he's created to us to be. And then when we begin to flow out of that revelation, there's nothing we cannot accomplish in our life, and we can fulfill God's calling to us. And so I just grasped onto that because I'd never thought of it in the opposite direction of what I actually read it, because I've also prayed, oh Lord, less of me and more of you. And yes, he does want less of the sinful nature, but he actually wants more of the real us. So that was, and then I'm going to come from a different angle now. Like, I like to see the conference with unseen eyes that you see in the natural. So I asked the Lord to show me what the essence of this conference and the flavor of this conference was and why it was a little bit unique to others. Now, all of them are unique, but specifically this one. And I first want to say there was a simplicity, but a profoundness through all the meetings. That's what I found. The atmosphere I felt was truth and love was allowed to flow more freely. And another thing, but I didn't know how to explain it, but I asked the Lord what it is, and Suzanne said something last week. She said, they were laid back. And I thought, then God just downloaded it. He said, yes. I said, Lord, what is it? He said, they have began to grasp what it means to live out being a Mary living in a Martha's world. Sitting at his feet, encountering his presence, his love, letting him ignite our heart with his heartbeat so that our lives can reflect his countenance and ignite other people wherever we go. And basically what Pastor Colin was also sharing this morning is we must begin to realize that that is the most important commandment, is loving our Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength. So, and there's so much more, but that's my little take on what reading did for me.
Thank you, Sharon. Jerry.
Well, I wrote down about half a dozen different presentations, but I don't know if I'll follow any of them. It seemed like the Lord all along kind of wanted me to go off the top of my head with saying something. It was just amazing. What I experienced there, like during the times of worship, was just electrifying. You have hundreds and hundreds of people from practically all over the world. And just really getting into the music. And just practically everybody's got their hands raised up. And up in the stands where we were at, I could just feel the stands just moving with the movement of a bunch of us. And it was so easy to get into the mood of it all. I guess if there was a verse in the Bible that would could be used as a theme verse for that conference, it would be Isaiah 43, verse 19, where it, the first phrase talks about, see, I am doing a new thing. And I couldn't help but think as I was reflecting on that on the way down there. That there was some real connection between that and what was going to happen at the conference. And I think what happened in me was part of that. It was just amazing. And I think I'd be ready to go again.
Thank you, Chair. Virg.
Well, for me, it was a real battle as well. As soon as I heard about it, God told me you have to go. Hearing God is something I've been longing for a long time. And the open heaven is what I knew I needed. But then, since it was announced and after we came to all the get-togethers to keep getting closer and closer, the closer it came, the more things come up that just said it's impossible. Just one thing after another, all summer, we've gone through some garbage. And I've let it get to me. I'll get into that a little bit later. Anyway, miraculous things happen, so that I was able to go. I just made up my mind. I'm putting everything to the side and we're going. Then the speakers, Sean Volz was the first one that we listened to. And he's talking about open heaven. In order to experience an open heaven, you need an open heart. And I knew my heart wasn't open. God created us in his original design for us to have an open heart, that we could see the unseen world. Again, something that's very hard for me to do. All the religious garbage I was carrying just wouldn't let me do it. And then one of the first scriptures he read was, and he, I don't know which version he got it from, but it was a different take on it. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart, put right with God. And then you can see God with the outside world. And then he went on to say that we're all built for relationship. Well, my first instinct as soon as something goes wrong is to close myself off and don't want anything to do with people anymore. And I have to ask you guys for forgiveness because that's where I've been for the last 2 years. One of the things he said is you can't isolate yourself from others and hear from God. That poked me deep, because that's where I was. He also said that God is love. And in order to know God, we have to have a relationship with others, because God is love. And the only way that we can reflect that love is to other people. That's the only way that it shows up. And so, again, he convicted me of that. And then he went on to say about how the people who live longest in the world are the people with social connection. And then one of the other speakers was, what was his name? Erwin McManus. He spoke on choices. Our choices always affect someone else. Was one of the things that he said. So whether they're choices to isolate yourself or choices to shut somebody else off in your life, whatever it is, those choices are going to affect somebody else. And a lot of my choices have affected people. Then he said, God cannot give us life because he is life. So unless we accept him and let him in, we won't have life. And then just a comment that I wrote at the end. If I make choices that do not bring life to myself and others, it's the wrong choice. Just a little bit of, from the speakers. I got lots and lots of pages of stuff there that I can't make heads or tails of it right now because they talk so fast. They talk like Southern Californians. So we bought the download, the downloads onto your phone and whatever, so we can listen to them later. So when I'm in the truck, they're not coming until the 25th, so I'll get what they really said then, I guess. But God was talking to me, not so much through the speakers, but directly through me. On Friday night, well, Colin was saying that we can go to these healing rooms and that other conference if we want to, and we don't have to if we don't want to. And I was feeling a little bit, my throat was just starting to tingle a little bit, and I could feel something coming on, so I thought, I'm not going to go to the healing room, and wasn't part of the healing rooms here anyway, so I just decided not to. Middle of the night, I woke up and tingle in my throat again. And I said, God, I obeyed you. I came. What is this? Like, come on. And so he just says, well, just cough it up. So I did. This was in a dream. Going back a little bit, I was just talking to Rose the night before. And I said, you know, I don't think I dreamt in 20 years. So here's this dream. God says, cough it out. So I coughed, and out came this black, ugly, vile-looking tongue. He says, that's what you've been speaking. He says, you have to go to the healing room. So I went. And then that was an experience all in itself. I've had scoliosis, which is a crooked spine, all my life. Well, since I was little, anyway. And then my knee both knees have bothered me on and off for years because of the way my whole spine is. So I decided that's what I'm going to write down in the paper to get prayed for. So I did. When I got in there to get prayed for, I started telling them, there was three guys. They were all just young guys. One young guy and, well, not all. One young guy, one young lady, and then one lady that was probably my age or a little older. So they started talking to me about it, and they looked at the page, and then asked me what I wanted prayed for. And I said, well, the scoliosis and my knee was bothering me a little bit. And just off the passing, I just said, the scoliosis, I didn't know if they knew what it was. And I just said my one leg was shorter than the other, so that kind of caused me to be crooked. And I grew that way, and they say I grew so fast that the bones couldn't quite keep up. Anyway, they ignored everything that I put on there, and they said, well, go sit on over there in that chair and put your feet up. So I did. I put my feet up, and one leg was about this much shorter than the other, half inch or so. And as they were praying, we could see the leg move. It was amazing, but my heart wasn't amazing. I said, God, I didn't come here to get prayed for that. Can you believe it? He's a miraculous God, and we have to believe him. He has the best for us, and we can't question it. I kind of thought afterwards, it's kind of funny that I came back alive. Because Lot's wife, all she did is look back at her past, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And here I'm arguing with him. But he changed my life in a lot of areas. And my prayer is that I don't isolate myself and I allow myself to be used where he wants me to be used. Thanks.
Linda.
Okay, so first off, fix what I say wrong and forgive me for things I say wrong. I'll say that right off the bat. Some of this is paraphrased. It's Linda paraphrased edition. Some of it was just they were saying things so fast. There was no way I could keep up with trying to write everything down, but I only took a few notes. And I had to break it down to what were the highlights. I had 182 highlights, so someone do the math in 3 to 5 minutes. So strap in here. What everybody said before, I'll try not to repeat, but Lord, please show up because I got nothing. Gideon said it, and that's the same for me. Bus time was awesome. My bus buddies... thanks so much. I miss you guys. Let's go on another trip. Just, I don't care. Just let's go on a trip and let's just, yeah, yay. I went really with no agenda. I didn't know what to expect. I just knew I needed something. I know I was sick that last night. Good thing I was at the back of the bus, right beside the bathroom. Nothing ever happened, but I believe it was, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, an attack. The way it lined up, whatever you want to call it. But the first day of worship, 2,500 people with their heart totally into worship. It was just awe-inspiring. A word, I couldn't get a word on my mouth for any of those songs. I was just bawling the entire time. Sean Bolt's little highlights, neuroplasticity. The science is actually catching up with what God has been telling us in his word forever and ever. Science is finally catching up. Hearing God's voice is the number one gift he gave us. Power of our choice can make us a victim or a victor. Leslie Crandall. Disciples were given the authority to go out and heal. They came back amazed, and Jesus said, that was the plan all along. Jesus comes along to clean up our messes, and he believes in us more than we can imagine, or what we believe in ourselves. Sean Bolt's, What desires need to be planted in me or in us so we can see the gap of where I am now as to where God wants me to be? God is life and prosperity, not death and destruction. A lot of people say, where's God in this, and where's God in this bad situation? Well, remove God and death and destruction is still there. Bill Johnson, I love the oak tree and the acorn, because if we wish for that oak tree, if we wish for that oak tree, it's going to crush us. We need to start with that acorn. And something else God showed me, the oak tree is going to grow in the way it's supposed to grow depending on the environment around you. Don't wish for someone else's oak tree, because that acorn needs to grow for your situation and for your area. Erwin McManus, hate your life, regift it back to Jesus. If we hate Christmas presents, what do? We sometimes regift them. If you don't like your life, regift it back to Jesus. The healing room was amazing. Never been to one. And there was healing happening in the, I don't know what it was, the very first pre-healing room. I know that I've had neck pain for years and years. And a 2 out of 10 has become a 0 out of 10 for how many weeks now? 2 weeks? So there was actually, I'm not going to talk about much of it, but there's a very tangible presence of God that I can feel on me since that as well. So Encounters was the Saturday. I think that was the highlight of the week for me, or the weekend. Any goodness, anytime we meet a need, any hug, is an encounter with God, and we need to practice it, and we need to create spaces and time for soaking. I think it was Ben Armstrong that was talking about our God is an infinite God, and if you take away, pick a number, 1.5 million away from infinite, it's still infinite. He talked about the angels. Every time they say, you talk about angels going, holy, 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 that's the angels seeing a new facet of God, and it's holy. And they see another facet, and it's a holy, it's an awesome, awestruck, not vision, just seeing God for a new piece of God. A new piece of this infinite God we serve. If we are living just for sleep or for rest, dreams will be dreams of anxiety, fear. It's just processing your day. Your day is dictating and running us. But if we're living for rest, I hope I'm saying that right, versus living from rest, then our mind is turned off enough that he can speak to us at night. He spoke to Joseph. They talk about Joseph, husband of Mary, how 4 or 5 times, if he didn't listen to those dreams, Jesus could have potentially been taken out then. So, I don't know. I'm probably getting close to the end. He hasn't stood up yet, but he's saying, yes, you are. So the last thing I want to say is, and this wasn't part of the week, but I was listening to some podcasts of Ben Johnson and some of the others, and this floored me. The church has been gathering together for decades around a sermon. Israel camped around the presence. The presence of God is the greatest gift we have, and to shut everything else down because of that is absolutely worth it.
Sharon. Oh, John. Sit down, guys. John.
I felt it, like, in worship there. Like, I can raise my hands, but I felt just the first morning, the worship set was just like, I was set free, and hands in the air for most of it, and like Lynn said, crying most of it. But it's good. So I've got just a couple highlights here. The whole thing is obviously a highlight, but Sean Bowles, he's a prophet in the sense that he'll pick people out of a crowd, say, is there someone here with this name? Or does this number mean anyone to someone? And someone's like, oh, that's me. And he's like, okay, God's saying this, and does this name mean something? Like, that's my son, and all this stuff. And people out of a crowd you can't plant that. And so it looks so, amazing and spectacular. But he, in his talks, and then I've listened to some of his podcasts as well, and has read some books, he just demystifies prophecy and says it's about relationship with God. And when you're in relationship with God and you see people the way God sees people, then God will speak to those people through you. So he turns it into coming out of relationship and love, and not out of some spectacular thing that only Sean Bowles can do. Anyone can do it. And the one of the cool things I picked out from his first talk was with the neuroplasticity and everything that he talked about, and they've done MRIs on people and other things. We need to receive Holy Spirit as our new processor. And he talked about when you upgrade your computer from an old operating system to a new one. We did that. We, not just an upgrade, but switching from PC to Mac kind of thing, or Mac to PC, where you have to learn it all over again, but it's Holy Spirit is better. And I'll do things a little bit out of order, because I want to go to the encounters session first. And so I wasn't here last week, so maybe some of you guys have heard a lot of this before. But the encounters session was learning how to steward encounters. And it sounded so like it had to be something spectacular. But then as they talked about it through the day, it was just realizing that they're just talking about anything that ministers to you, whether it's a memory that comes up out of nowhere, or a conversation with someone, or anything like that. And I realized that what they're talking about is what we do every week in church. We're listening. We're always listening. And when you're listening and willing to hear, then God will speak, and that is an encounter. So we have those every week. And not just at church, we can have them at work or in our devotions or anything. And one quote from Ben Armstrong, who was leading the session, was that he said a few times, and I thought it was kind of cool, is we think more like God more than we think like God. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I need to write that down and think about that because there's too many words in it. But we think more like God more than we think like God. So we don't need to doubt, oh, is this me? Is this me? Is this me? Because if God's in you, then it is you, but it's God. So that was cool. And then Bill Johnson. I knew of him, and I knew who he was and all this stuff, but I never actually heard him until that week. And was just really struck with his character and his presence on stage in front of the congregation. He just speaks and lives from a place of peace and a place of rest and confidence in who he is. And I don't know if he even writes notes. He just got up there and says, okay, here's what we're talking about. Yeah, he tells a joke. He told a few jokes, and then he just moves into it. And he's so comfortable, and it puts everyone at ease and in a place where they're ready to receive what he's saying. And there's a couple of times, and I thought this was, it's just funny, he's come over here and he says something so profound, and everyone's like, whoa, got to write that down. And so there's no reaction from the crowd. I once heard a wise man say, and he'll say the same point to this side. It's like, no, we heard you the first time, but we're still catching on. So it was funny. He's a gentle soul, and there's a reason that Bethel is growing the way it is. It's because he's just looking for the presence. And God honors that. But so he was talking about the difference between being a servant and being a friend of God. And how servants just tick off the list. And once you've ticked everything off the list, okay, done for the day. Where it's a friend will go above and beyond. And they don't need a list because they know your heart. And how we are friends of God, but God is also our friend. And neither one of us is taking things off the list. We're just doing things because we want to bless each other's heart. That's God to us, us to God. And then Linda touched on it with acorns to oak trees. I thought this was just amazing, and I've held on to it. When we ask for something huge, and it looks like we don't get an answer to that prayer. Bill Johnson says, well, I believe that God answers every prayer when we pray it. And the Bible teaches that when you ask this thing in my name and believe that you have received it, you have received it. But if you get the entire answer to your prayer that moment, then it might destroy you. And he talked, his example was, if you ask God, I want to be able to heal people, and God's like, okay, boom, you can heal cancer. Every person in the world is going to come to you to be healed of cancer. Just lay your hand on. That's all your day will ever be. And are you prepared to deal with the pressure that comes with that, the amount of time you're giving to that, the amount of scrutiny from everybody else? He talked about how a foundation looks good until you apply too much pressure, and then it cracks. And so instead of giving you that whole answer, God will give you the acorn to grow the oak tree. That is the whole answer. And he said, too often we say, God, give me this oak tree. And God's like, okay, here's an acorn. Steward this acorn to grow an oak tree. And we're like, an acorn? I asked for an oak tree. And we toss out the acorn. So just be aware for those acorns, because you need to grow those. And his comment was, growing those acorns is through praying for that final answer. You keep asking, keep praying. And that persistent prayer of asking for that oak tree doesn't change God's heart, because he's already given you these seeds to make that, but it changes us. The persistent prayer changes us. So I was like, oh, I'm going to write that one down. So, yeah. And then those are my highlights, but yeah, the trip down, trip back, and just spending time with family was just amazing. And family in the church and family in a broader sense of the conference. But yeah, had a good time, and it was fun spending time with family, with my brothers and sisters, and getting closer to Sheldon. That is a self-sacrificial man to the extreme.
Things I probably got from the trip would be probably around 25 Hershey's bars. But some of the main things I got from the conference were how, like, each of the speakers would have things such as Bill Johnson and Erwin McManus. They'd be joking about black toothpaste or something. Everyone'd be howling out, and then boom! You'd just be hit with something hard, and you're just like, whoa. So then, yeah, and then you'd have the Sean Bolts lottery. Everyone would be there. You'd be hoping, what if he picks me? Am I going to be picked? Whoa. And then you pick someone else, and you're still like, whoa, that's so cool. And yeah, it was just like something that just kind of jumped out at me, like anyone can do that. It's not like, oh, only Sean Bolts could do this. Oh, only the Pope could do this. Oh. So, yeah, that kind of jumped out at me. And I had a few healing experiences here. I actually had my finger healed. I was going down for prayer for that. I had injured this finger a couple of years ago. It was kind of like bent up a bit, and I could move it down. I could do everything, but it was just kind of at a resting position. It'd go up. So then I got healing for that. My finger straightened out and is fully straight now. I rest it down straight. And while I was waiting in line for a prayer, there was someone next to me who also had a finger problem. I think it was their ring finger. And they were missing the top part of their finger. And then when I was waiting there, they started praying for them. and their fingers started to grow back. The fingernail grew back in, and the skin like went around it, and I saw that happen. Everyone around was just like, and even like the person praying was like, whoa. So then, yeah, and then in fact, when I was waiting in the super long line to get a drink, there was someone behind me. There's a guy that came up to this woman, and he said, "I feel like I should pray something to do with your eye." And she said, "Yes, I am blind in this eye," or I can't remember which one it was. So then he prays for a bit and says, "Cover up your good eye and like see how many fingers I'm holding up." And then so she covers her good eye, and then she says, "I can see something. It's blurry, though." So then he goes, he prays again, and he tells her, "Okay, do the same. Cover up your good eye." And then each time, it's like clearer and clearer and clearer, and then to the point where, almost at the time where I was about to get my drink, it, like this went on for about 15 minutes, and I was still not even at the line, finish at the line. So, and then, like, she could see clearly, she could see everything, like, we held up some objects, she could see it perfectly, probably even better than I could. So, yeah, that's just some things I would like to share about that impacted me.
The bus going down is pretty well, except for the accident, it was peaceful and well, trying to get some sleep, well, sort of. It got okay, and the bus drivers did a good job getting us there safely and back. At the conference, Sean Boats is saying something about the brain being parallel to the spirit, and when we spend more time with God, our mind becomes like God's. I also liked when he picked people from the audience and prophesied with, he was spot on, and even the young people that were, they picked some of the people from the audience, and they did really good too. Erwin McManus, when he's talking about our choices are sacred, and talking about, he said, "Now choose life, for the Lord is your life. And make new choices for hope, faith, joy, forgiveness, etc." God always chooses me, even when I make bad choices. And if we choose Jesus, we know our end game. It was just amazing how many people were there from all over the world. Like, I talked to a few people during the lunch breaks, and from Ireland and Germany and Australia and England, and there are even people from United Arab Emirates and South Korea, and the worship when they were singing, it was just beautiful. I just like listened to them, you know, it was all together and singing in their own. Sometimes it was really beautiful, and it was just super. When I got prayer for my lower back and my wrists and my eyes and that, and I was in an accident last January 2017, and the lady ran into me, and it affected my wrists and my lower back, and I got prayed for, and I was healed, and it's just free movement. And for a few days at the conference there, my right knee was stiff, achy pain when I moved it sideways, and it was no more pain and free, no stiffness. And I also was prayed for my eyes, but it is still to come yet. Yeah, it'll come. And the young lady and young man that prayed for me, prayed with me, and the young lady got a word that I would have joy and dancing, and that my I've had always before, since sometime in my past, I think, it's kind of vague, but when I try to sing or talk or whatever, people, my throat close off, and so she gave me a verse, Numbers 23, I think verse 6, whatever God has blessed, no man can curse. And the day we came back, the communion, Pastor Colin, for the wine, he had grapes. It was really special. And,
Elaine.
I did not want to be up here. I'm not the elegant speaker most are. I've tried making notes here to try to make a sense of what I did hear and gain. A lot of it was pretty much covered. One that sticks out is, I guess, choices in life, choices we make, and we have to choose life. And there are a few choices that we make that are really significant, and that is one of them. In the encounters, just to remember that each small thing that does happen that brings joy is an encounter. And as we remember that, we will have more things to remember. And for me, sometimes my memory is pretty short. I have to make a point, I think, of writing things down, because so many things are insignificant, so you don't want to write it down. But when you read it later, it's amazing how much more you get out of it, and that it was a bigger deal than you thought. And even just speaking to some people at the conference, it's amazing how you get talking, and there is that little bit of encouragement. Still might seem insignificant, but it did mean something to me. We always pray for our children.
And as many of you know that our son is now in New Zealand, and one of my first thoughts were we know that the family that he's married into aren't Christians. What's going to happen now? And really great family, lovely people. But I was talking to this one lady, and she was just telling me about how many are walking with the Lord in New Zealand, and how many there are that do encourage. So as we pray, I do feel that what he does, what our son does know, will grow. He will get that encouragement there too. Yeah, I think my time is almost up here, so so just I thank you for all the people that were on the trip, and just getting to know the family better was awesome. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Again.
Lisa.
Well, unlike Elaine, I didn't really want to be up here, but I got a push from the Holy Spirit, and here I am. This conference was a great experience for me, and I didn't know what to expect, but I'm very grateful that I went. One of the common themes that spoke to me was choices, as it spoke to, as others have said. The very first, Benny Johnson, in her morning devotion on Thursday morning, said, "Choose to be a person of peace." Sean Bolts also talked about choices, and he said, "We can choose what to believe when we get up in the day, negativity or positivity. It is important to create positivity and have a social and have social connections. We need a connected life." Erwin McManus said, "Before we make any spiritual act, we choose. Choosing is a powerful spiritual act. Choices are sacred. Now choose life. Pass on life from generation to generation. Make new choices that are more powerful than your old ones." And the Sunday morning church service at Bethel had a very special meaning for me. Of all the music choices that they could choose from, they chose to sing "In Christ Alone." And that was a song that my mom passed away listening to. And so that song is always is very moving to me when I hear it. So lastly, this experience has made me want to seek and soak more in his presence.
Beautiful. Well, I'm just going to take a couple of minutes. You'll hear more in the future coming out of the conference. First, I want to say, as a pastor, it's really interesting when God lays something on your heart and you pray about it. Jane and I pray about it. We get unity before I bring it. And, you know, when I threw out the whole concept of going to California, the open heaven, we've never done that. Really, I've never had no connection with Bethel before. It was absolutely amazing to hear the response of people, because God had been preparing you. I believe God had been preparing this church. So you need to know, as a pastor, for 33 of our congregation to make the commitment, the sacrifice, all that they did, you need to know, as a pastor, we had so many of our leaders who were there. We had so many of our healing team people who were there. We had so many of our worship people who were there. You need to know, as a pastor, you know that when God lays upon the hearts of those people to come, that he's changing the fabric. He's moving the congregation in a direction. I got to tell you just a couple things really quick. We got there late. We got there at 1 o'clock Wednesday night, so we missed what these guys got, so we'll hear it. Thursday morning we got there. And it's like you're in a greenhouse, like many mentioned, you know, about 2,500 who are there for the specific purpose, right? The specific purpose. Like Bill Johnson says, you know, our the whole fabric of Bethel is worship and the presence. That's what they aim for. We had this worship time, 2,500. We had the break time. I was walking down on my way out, walked past Arnold and Linda, Dennis and Elizabeth were there. And I looked at Linda and I said, so how are you doing? She looks at me, she takes my arm and she goes, isn't it amazing that we have this kind of worship every Sunday? You know, I got to tell you that just, God just used that beautifully, because often when you go to a conference, it's like this massive greenhouse on Mars, and now we're coming back to Earth again, and it's like, oh, this letdown. Linda, you need to know that just set the tone, and I heard it all week long, people coming and going, call, it's so amazing. We do this all the time. It's amazing. We soak. It's amazing. We have the healing room. It's amazing. Prophetic words. It's amazing. The confirmation after confirmation. Can we grow in that? You bet we can. Will it be awesome to have 25,000 who are just hungry for, you know what? The presence of God is real everywhere. You need to know how affirming it was to hear over and over and over that as a church, we're not missing it, but we're moving in the direction. That was absolutely beautiful. One of the great joys of my heart, every time I go, whether it's Africa, India, it doesn't matter, when I take teams with me, one of my greatest joys is when I bring the team along, watching how God moves in the team and through the team. I knew God was going to move and touch in every person who was there, and he did it uniquely, and it was so beautiful to be able to share it, to see it. Some of them I was watching, some they came after and said, Pastor, just got to tell you, you got to know, as a spiritual father, how awesome that is to see God move upon your children. But I want to say two things about the team. Number one is, from the very beginning, we sat on the highway for 2.5 hours with the accident a quarter mile in front of us. We were 6 hours late because of the snowstorm, the whole deal. You need to know, from beginning to end, there was not one person on our team who had a negative attitude, who complained, who brought any sort of contrary to the entire, that did not exist in our trip. 33 people who had an absolute beautiful spirit from beginning to end, regardless of what we encountered. I just want to say again, I'm so proud of all of you. I'm so proud of you. The second thing that was amazing to me is when we got to this conference, I believe part of the reason why God laid upon your hearts, team who were there, because you went with your heart absolutely open, or prepared to be opened and receive what God had. When we talk in here about this church being a teachable spirit, there are piles of people who are not teachable. They know it all. They're not going to let you speak into their life. They've got all the answers. They're as arrogant as they can be. I mean, if you could look at the heart meter, it's like, just close like this. Don't talk to me. I want to tell you, our team went, their hearts were absolutely wide open. And a wide open heart, it was said, a wide open heart experiences a wide open heaven. That's why our team did that. But that's why our church experiences that too. Sunday after Sunday, we come in, your heart is open, you are teachable. We experience the presence, we hear God's voice, and it's going to do nothing but grow. You need to be prepared for that. From the encounters to the healing room, isn't it beautiful to hear the healings that took place in our people when they were there? And beautiful, it just confirmed again, people are going, oh man, that's what happens in our healing room. People get healed and people get delivered and all that stuff. And it's like, God, you're so good. You're not just in Bethel. When he said to the woman at the well, the time is coming and now is where you no longer have to go to Bethel to worship. But true worshipers worship in spirit and truth, in Camrose, in Edmonton, in South Korea, in the UK. True worshipers worship. That's what he's doing in us, guys. I want to tell you just one personal for me. You've heard it before that they had 2,700 students in the school and they're training them all to be prophetic, and they lay hands, they come up to you and they say, hey, could I, you know, are you open if I share what God laid in my heart? And I think everybody goes there expecting, you know, that's going to happen. And for lots of our team, they did. I was blessed. There were three teams that came up to me over the course of the 2 days that we were there, Thursday and Friday. Three teams came up, shared things with me that I'd heard before. You know, they spoke over stuff about books again, and they spoke over business and finance stuff, the whole deal. The last team, there was a couple that came up. I don't know if they're married, but I think so. Their accents were the same. But they came up, and he shared some things over me, and it was awesome. And then she shared some things over me, and then he says, I got more. And he just shared stuff over me. And by the time he was finished sharing with me, he looked at me and said, oh, man. He said, it is so strong on you. He said, would you pray and release that back on me? I said, no. I didn't expect that. He was so overwhelmed by what God spoke to him about me. He said, I need that in my life. Right there, I just laid my hands and I just spoke back prophetically over his life, and he just began weeping. I got to say, I expected just to go and receive, and I went to receive. I didn't expect to. But that was so fun. And I thought, I want that kind of heart. He was so open, he just let God speak and just spoke and spoke and spoke over. And then he goes, I need that. He says, give it back to me. I thought, that's the heart I want. This young man, God used him to put a hunger in me. It was beautiful. So, team, thank you. All 33 of you, thank you. Church, thank you for praying the words that were spoken out for us going, your anticipation of us coming back. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you. And are you going to share about the bucket?
The Lord is just saying, I guess because this is the culmination of you all sharing, that remember how before they left, we had them all take a bag. And I believe prophetically, I know this might freak a visitor or two out, but I believe prophetically you need to come up here and dump your bags out. Were you going to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
But why don't you do it? Because I got a bag. I'd like you to meet my bag.
I knew it as soon as I said it. All right, team, any of you who are here today, come on and stand up. Come on up and bring your bag full of blessing, your bag full of anointing, your bag full of gifts, your bag full of mantles, your bag full of insight, wisdom, revelation, knowledge. Everything you gained, we want it, don't we, team? We're a team, aren't we? We're not just a church, we're a team. So this team went, and I know this is a little weird if you're not used to this, but it's just a prophetic act. You know, if you read the Old Testament, you know, Jeremiah would have to go somewhere and he'd have to do something, and then God would say, and this is what this means. And now you tell all the people what this means. And so, and that's just one example. There's lots of prophetic acts that happened in the Old, even in the New Testament, and we're just camping on that. We're just taking that and making it our own. So you've got your bag. I want to see it. Your bag full. How heavy is it, folks? How heavy is it? Is it really full? So prophetically, as we are the receivers, hold out your hands. Take. Let's take what they have experienced, what they're bringing back. And we're just saying to the Lord, we want more. We want more. We want what Bethel has. We want it here. We want what the leadership has. We want it here. We want to manifest the same kinds of anointings, the same kind of gifting, outpouring, revelation, etc. We are here to be agents of change. We are not here only for our own purposes, as we talked earlier. We're not mammon-driven people. We are spirit-led people. We need the equipping that comes from heaven. And these went and received great equipping. And so, dump it out. Dump it out, throw it in front of us, push it, kick it, whatever. We receive it, we take it spiritually, from a spiritual perspective. We are receiving all of what they received, all of what they gained. We're taking it. And Father, we believe in the coming weeks, we will understand this better. we will begin to operate in it more. You can speak to us. You can get through to us. We're not dull of hearing. We have the mind of Christ. So, Father, whatever it is that we are to take individually into our personal lives, into our workplace, into our ministries, our businesses, our family life, all of it, Lord God, we believe just the very right thing will come up at the very right time so we can move forward, come up higher, be more effective in this world, and just bring you much glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of it. We take it, we take it, we take it, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, team. Dana, can I just have you go to the piano just for a short time? Team, you can be seated. Would you just bow with me for a moment in closing today? I want to come against one lie of the enemy that hits those when they go to Africa, when they go on a mission trip, when they do a harvest supper, when they go to Reading, when they experience something big from God. One of the lies of the enemy is that when we come back, that we're going to be hit, we're going to get sick, there's going to be loss, things are going to happen, the enemy somehow has an open door. I come against that word in Jesus' name. I declare that the same Father who protected us and took us there, and the same Father who brought us back, the same Father is surrounding us. He is protecting us. He is not allowing the hedge around us to be breached so that in any way what we have will be stolen. I declare we're children of God and not orphans. I declare that we are protected and not vulnerable. And I declare that what has been deposited will be kept. And I speak over every acorn that has been sown in the life of every team member and the acorns that have been sown into the lives of every person under the hearing of my voice, whether here or on CD or the internet around the world. I speak over every acorn and I speak life to it and I declare you will grow into oak trees. And I release a special grace over every spouse who was not able to go or not called to go. I speak over every spouse a grace to receive what happened in their partner, a grace to be gentle with it, a grace to receive from it, a grace to grow in it. I declare there will be no conflict, there will be no division, there will be no strife in that couple, there will be unusual unity in Jesus' name. And I declare that as a body, the cry of our heart, Holy Spirit, is that you would be Lord, that you would move us, you would grow us, you would take us where you want us to go. I thank you. This is one more step in that journey. It's not the last. It's another. And so thank you, Father. Joy.
So just when everybody was up here and the whole team was standing there with their bags, Holy Spirit just showed me, confirmed with Jane too, that the gold dust, have you ever heard of the gold dust happening during worship? The gold dust came down in their bags. And as you guys had your hands out to receive it and they blew it, it all just poofed up and everybody received gold dust.
Do we receive that today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So would you bow with me? Father, thank you. Thank you that you have not withheld yourself from us, but you are making yourself more and more real and revealed, and we love it. So thank you for what the days ahead are going to bring. But thank you for your faithfulness and your presence today. Today. We give you permission, Father, as a church, to grow us, to lead us, to heal us, to free us more and more. We give you permission to use us in this community, our Jerusalem, to touch the lives of all of those who have no clue of what love is. And so by faith, we say thank you. love you. Thank you for loving us first. We speak blessing over the ministry at Bethel. We thank you that you have raised it up and you're using it powerfully across the globe. We continue to speak blessing into every vision, every ministry, everything they put their hand to. We just release life and blessing over Bethel and its ministries. I declare to you today what you already know, that our Heavenly Father has blessed us and He's keeping us. Our Heavenly Father has caused His beautiful face to shine on us and He has been gracious to us. Our Heavenly Father has lifted up His countenance upon us and has filled us with His peace. We declare it, we believe it, and we receive it. And we say thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.